Welcome to the 4A's live podcast, Ad Assurance, the Next Chapter, Understanding Fraud, which was recorded at the Decisions 2020 conference on March 26, 2019. Lewis Jones, the EVP of Media and Data at the 4A's, moderated a discussion that includes Michael Tiffany, the co-founder and president of White Ops, and Abram Farage, manager of creative content protection with NBC Universal. The day's topic, why agencies and marketers need to work vigilantly to fight ad fraud, to preserve the safety of brands and consumers, and why, despite the advertising industry's progress, so much hard work still lies ahead. Give it a listen.
Welcome, gentlemen. So, a moment ago, I talked about this idea that we need to remain vigilant. And Mike just teed us up on this idea that criminals are hard at work. And the reason for the vigilance is because criminals have found that the advertising ecosystem is an easy one to get into and turns out to be a lot more profitable, perhaps for lots of them, than it is for lots of us. So we wanted to delve into the dark side of the web. And these two guys are absolute experts in understanding fraud, piracy, and malware in the deep, dark depths of the internet. So why don't you guys tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do?
Okay. I'm Michael Tiffany. I help run a company called White Ops. It's a hacker company that I co-founded a little over 6 years ago to fight cybercrime economically. Cybercriminals are entrepreneurs. They're trying to find the crimes that are most profitable and also the most scalable. And they buy digital tools of the trade on the black market. So the profits of cybercrime are what fund cybercriminal innovation. And what we particularly care about is the compromise of ordinary people's computers. Those are the crimes that scale, the ones that work on the backs of millions of infected machines. And that's what brings me here, because ad fraud is one of the most scalable cybercrimes that you can run on the backs of, say, a million computers you control.
And I'm Abraham Farage with the Creative Content Protection team at NBCU. I've been on that team for about 8 years. I'm one of the few people that gets to fight piracy full time. And like Michael said, pirates are indeed business savvy. They're entrepreneurial, and they have a very good innovative sense of how to game the system. So I'll be sharing with you some of the dirty tricks that they use to go about getting online ads, and also share some of the success that this industry and you all have been a part of in combating that. So.
All right, great. So first up, we're going to delve into this idea about how malware and installs and starts to infect millions of computers. But interestingly enough, internally at the 4A's, you know, so we picked this Decisions 2020 and, you know, it had a lot of thematic kind of stuff to it. But it is also reflective of the election moniker that we'll soon be in full time. And so when we actually posted Decisions 2020 on the 4A's homepage, what we saw is traffic to the 4A's website went from an average of 4,000 to 5,000 a week to 20 million. And when we did a little bit of research, we could tell that we were getting hit by bots, and those bots were coming from the Ukraine. So I called Michael. I'm like, dude, situation over here at the 4A's. He sent us a tag, and he's run that tag over the weekend. So Michael, tell us not only what you found on the 4A's thing, but how that sort of is emblematic of kind of what happens and how this whole fraud and malware thing gets started.
Yeah, this was a fun investigation over the weekend. The traffic spike was obvious, and there are lots of websites on the internet that get hit by bots for whatever reason. You know, there's lots of price scraping bots, random information scraping bots, and. Most of them are not sophisticated. They need to go undetected well enough to do their job, but it's only the extraordinarily sophisticated ones that go to the trouble of looking lifelike. And the remarkable thing about the Decisions 2020 website is that it was attracting those high-end bots, really sophisticated ones, based on two different botnets, one run off of compromised desktop computers and another entirely independent one built out of Android devices, which was really eyebrow-raising. So someone had whipped out the big guns on you.
I'll name the conference something different next year.
Yes. The intent, of course, is not always clear in this case, but it was almost certainly just you getting sniffed out because of the political sounding title here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about things like Eve.
All right. Eve is was a complicated bot operation that we worked with industry partners and the FBI to get shut down recently. It infected 1.8 million computers at any one time. The actual infection footprint was vastly higher using Covturin and Muref malware. And the takedown, it's now off the internet, was a coordinated effort that was really made possible because WideOps can find malware just like many companies that find malware, for instance, every antivirus company. But we often don't get the opportunity to catch the malware while it's in the act of making money. And something really special can happen if you catch the operation in the act, which is you can answer the question, who benefits? Who's making money off of this bot activity? And WideOps is really, if I may say so, extraordinarily good at identifying malware that everyone else misses. The FBI is extraordinarily good at following the money. So if you can just give them the beginnings of the trail, then they can follow that internationally. So we ultimately had a very big positive effect on the ad industry, not just because we took this threat out, but also because law enforcement was able to actually catch some of the people who were behind the operators, like the real masterminds of this operation, which is pretty unprecedented, especially when you consider where they're from.
And it wasn't just a U.S. thing. It was spread out across the world.
That's right. The coordinated arrests were made in Bulgaria, Malaysia, and Estonia. And in each of those cases, the guys really thought they were getting away with it right up until the door got kicked in. They had no idea. And even more broadly, several indictments were unsealed, eight against individuals from Russia, Kazakhstan, and Ukraine. And the operation itself had servers in Germany and the U.S. and shell companies all across the world. And then, of course, the biggest asset was all those infected computers, ordinary people's devices. Yours and mine in North America and Europe.
So really quickly, tell me a little bit about why advertising is such an attractive area,
right,
for these bad actors.
It's a great question. If you have the power to infect millions of computers, you want to turn that power into money. And there's honestly an infinite number of ways of doing that, right? That ransomware is an interesting innovation, you know, where you encrypt someone's hard drive and then ask for money to give their data back. And that's been extraordinarily successful. You can rob their bank account because you can watch them log into their bank and start altering the instructions. But not a lot of people have a massive amount of money to rob. And even if they do, you can't rob the same victim over and over again. I say this just to illustrate this, that while there's an infinite number of cybercrimes, there are actually precious few that really scale, that can make money this month and the next month and the month thereafter. And that's what makes ad fraud so attractive to the high-end cybercriminals, because it can make the most money in the aggregate. Imagine all of the ways you can make money if you have 1.8 million computers that you can order to visit any website, install any program. therefore game any attribution system. And the computers that are getting infected are yours and mine. They're real people's. And what that means is that if you're logged into Facebook, if you're buying things, if you're browsing around the web, the malware in the background has access to your cookies, your browser history. So it looks like you. These guys aren't controlling some anonymous bot horde. What they have is over a million real consumers to control. And that's really the secret to scalability here, because the extraordinary sophistication of tracking and targeting is being used against the good guys, right? Because these bots look absolutely real. In fact, will have verifiable purchase histories, for instance. So that's what we're up against.
Okay. So I'm going to pivot real quickly to Abe. Abe, talk to us a little bit about your view and what happens in ad-supported piracy. And I think you have probably a video that can help illustrate
what Mike was just talking about, right? Well, first, a lot of things go wrong when an ad makes its way to a pirate site. The site looks legal because advertising is a legal business. So when the user sees that, they're assuming this is a safe place to view content. And then when the sites get ads, they get money, and they could invest in new technologies to game the system more. So what I will show you guys now is one of the more sophisticated examples where we see a website just create a pop-up window that can change pages, that can scroll, and that could do a whole bunch of stuff to get ads. Similarly to what Michael was talking about, how malware is a driver for ad fraud. So we can switch over to that video whenever it's ready. So if we could just pause it right here, I'm not sure if we'll be able to, but that cursor right there on your left that you see on the left browser is your cursor. And what I mean by that is here's what we're seeing. We're seeing someone going to a web browser on the left, could be you, and then a pop-up window, which is normally closed in the background that you can't see. And what happens is you go to the pirate site, and in the background, this pop-up window, and we could play the video now, is going to scroll through content. It's going to induce advertising as if it were a real person. And it's going to play video ads with the right amount of time to count as a view. So this could be happening to any campaign, but it's just so hard to measure because the site on the right is technically a quote-unquote fashion blog. So it's not the type of site that many of our context filters are looking for piracy, but this is what happens when someone can go to a pirate site is they get this pop-up window, which looks like a fashion blog or a cooking site, and the ads are laundered, so to speak, into that channel. So.
So we're kind of out of time. But one more sort of question for you. Tell us a little bit about your learnings from piracy, and how that helps to sort of benefit the world.
Yeah. So I'm a member of the anti-piracy working group at TAG, which is a working group where a lot of companies and content owners could come together and share their concerns. It's a great way for us to come up with ideas and really demonstrate what the industry can do. So in the past couple years, and one of the things that Mike Zanis of TAG just discussed was there was a campaign, and if we can go to this slide that we have, there was a campaign to reach out to all the brands that are appearing on pirate sites. So and this was conducted by Creative Future and by TAG, and also with some significant help from Group M and John Montgomery, who's a huge thought leader for this effort. So in June 2016, there were 2.5 billion impressions going to pirate sites. And it was at that point that TAG and Creative Future and its members decided it would probably benefit everyone if these brands knew that this was happening. And that actually had a drastic effect is by alerting all these agencies and marketers. If they represent client A, they're not just going to send this the benefit of the notice to their one client. They're going to extend it to all their clients. So from when that process started in around 2016, there's been a marked drop and a sustained drop. So we're not seeing this programmatic ad, as much of it, programmatic ads on pirate sites as we used to in the past. And that's a big pat on the back to this industry and everyone here for taking this issue very seriously and making this a priority for them. So
awesome. Yeah. Thank you. So we're out of time. There are more stories to tell. In case you didn't know, you were just part of a live podcast in this conversation. So thank you for your audience participation.
Thanks for listening to the 4A's live podcast, Ad Assurance, the Next Chapter, Understanding Fraud. To learn more about steps you can take to counter fraud, piracy, and unsafe adjacencies, download the 4A's brand safety playbook at www.4as.org. That's the number 4as.org.